Welcome to another episode of the Canadian Space Society podcast, Space A. I'm your host, Mahima Kapoor, and today we're chatting with Evandro Barros. He is the founder and CEO of Data H Artificial Intelligence and the co-founder of the Institute of Applied Intelligence. He was the top five AI CEOs of 2021, but his passion for entrepreneurship isn't new. He's been an entrepreneur his entire life and started his first business at the young age of 15. And back in 2015, he made it his life mission to improve human life through the use of AI. He recently moved to Toronto, where he founded his company, Data H, Artificial Intelligence Incorporated. And then since then, his passion has been the study of the application of deep reinforcement learning for operations in derivatives market. So welcome to the podcast, Evandro. How are you doing today?
Good. Pretty good. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Thank you for being here. So let's dive straight into the questions. Tell us a little bit about your background, something that I haven't really mentioned in the intro, and what drew you to the space sector?
All right. My background is not very common in technology companies. I have a degree in history and music, but I built a career in the financial market and working as a derivative trader for more than 10 years. It was in this environment that I had contact with artificial intelligence and a lot of mathematics. And about space, this came from childhood. The most popular book in my childhood was A Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking. And he and Carl Sagan were my heroes. So my room had pictures of galaxies on the wall and mock-ups of satellites and space stations. So that's a passion that lasts to this day.
Yeah, and I think, Carl Sagan, Stephen Hawking are certainly heroes for a lot of people. There's a lot of really amazing quotes by Carl Sagan, which are still so relevant today. I think that's a really great thing that your passion sort of started small when you were young, just looking at the world through the eyes of wonder, and then now you're kind of working there. So that's awesome to hear a dream come true. Let's start off high level with the questions. Tell me a little bit about the key challenges that are related to human life in space.
Space is probably one of the most hostile environments that can be faced by the human body. There are enormous challenges related to the long time of traveling in space in the organisms, mainly in the brain structure. Studies on the alteration of brain structures in astronauts are very recent. So we do not know exactly the consequence of it returning to atmosphere. But one thing we know, it's colonizing another planet is a challenge where we will need the most help. We'll need new solutions for healthcare, for maintenance, for the human mental health, new solutions for nutrition. In addition to water and energy, I don't see this happening without advances in artificial intelligence.
That makes a lot of sense. So maybe describe for us, how do you think AI can solve some of these problems? Where exactly are we targeting the use of AI in the range of problems that you've listed out?
All right. I believe in humans and machines working together. Natural intelligence work in harmony with artificial intelligence. There is no process that artificial intelligence cannot contribute to. We can think of systems that monitor the astronauts' attention or the crew's quality of life, energy optimization, and medical robotics that can analyze exams accurately. We have been working on artificial intelligence capable of understanding a huge amount of manuals and instructions and helping people in the equipment maintenance process. It's a virtual assistant with intelligence that can mix text comprehension and visual comprehension of human actions.
Wow, that's really fascinating. So you founded this company called Data H Artificial Intelligence. Tell us where your inspiration for it came from. What kind of work is Data H taking on? And tell us a little bit about your journey starting it up.
Data H was born to help young researchers to transform their ideas into real products, into successful companies, regardless of the country in which they were born. So for this, we created a structure capable of increasing the probability of an idea based on science, on artificial intelligence to succeed. We create teams, train people, invite mentors, and attract investments around the initial idea. So we don't take ready-made startups. We create them. Our ecosystem consisting of training, sales, management, and investments. So we identify ourselves as a venture builder, but you are like a hybrid of accelerator and entrepreneurship.
Got it. Okay. So this is something that you're saying that Data H is sort of born out of this accelerated work that's happening in AI across the board. So tell us a little bit about what is this AI internationalization program? Is it something that just simply means AI is becoming more international and much more accessible? What exactly does it mean? And how does Data H fit into that?
Okay. In 1918, we realized that if an AI company wants to be competitive, it will have to create its own university because, you know, you have few people's work around the world in this subject. So this was born I2A2, the Institute of Applied Artificial Intelligence. This institute trains people with the most diverse backgrounds for the AI market. We have developed teaching techniques to make this possible. So today, more than 1,000 people have been trained by the institute. Most of them were hired by us or partner companies.
Okay, makes sense. So tell us a little bit about how you work with your partner companies to help them establish their goals. Is it like some of your partner companies are working in the space and tech center while the other companies are more diverse? What is the portfolio of the work that Data H does look like?
Our goal is to generate opportunities for our students to develop their ideas regardless of the country they are in. Discussing the colonizations of other planets is something that must be done by all humanity and not by a specific country. So people need to have the right to create solutions and develop space exploration companies, no matter where they were born. So for this, they need support, knowledge, and money. So we try to help people to achieve that.
That's awesome that you've given them a platform that enables them to go out and experiment in this still very kind of niche market. So that's really amazing. That's commendable work that you've done. I want to ask you a little bit more about something more personal to you, which is about your background. So you're from Brazil, and I think that, you know, it's really reflected in your work that you're really trying to make AI research and entrepreneurship accessible to everyone. And I imagine that, you know, someone did that for you as well, and that allowed you to get to the place where you are. But tell us a little about how is this venture special for Brazil and the country's space ambitions as well?
You don't have a too much tradition in the space exploration in Brazil, but you have been helping students to discuss about space exploration and helping people to understand how to use new technologies like artificial intelligence or blockchain or quantum computing. So you're trying to help Brazilian students to achieve their goals work in partnership with another other countries or universities abroad. That have been very important for them because we can work together in some researches that maybe you don't have enough tools in your country. So you can work with some students in USA, in Canada, and in Ireland. And so we can put together in Africa with South America. So they can sometimes start a new company. And you have things like that. So you have people that have been working together, but they never see each other. So personally, they just are doing that online. So they are building solutions together.
That's amazing. And I think it highlights the fact that, you know, over the pandemic as well, everything's become more remote, yet things are much more accessible because the sharing of ideas really is, you know, transcends any technology that you use. So that's awesome. My last question for you is going to be, what are some of your fondest memories from Brazil?
Yeah, I think memories come down to food, people, and the ocean. I think there is an exchange of images, lights, and flavors involving these three things, you know, food and people and ocean. So my memories is I always remember when I'm going to, with my family, to eat the foods on the beaches, and, you know, and playing with my brothers and things like that.
Absolutely. I can imagine that being a lot of fun. And of course, everyone has a special connection to where they grew up. Lots of nostalgia. So that's awesome to hear. Do you go back and visit often?
Yes, one time per year.
Okay.
I used to go there.
That's awesome. So that's all the questions I had for you, Evandro. And I really enjoyed chatting with you, learning more about Data H. And are there any final words that you would like to say to our audience? A lot of our listeners are students and people looking to break into the space sector. So is there anything that you can offer related to Data H or otherwise in terms of wisdom or knowledge to those students who are still really discovering their path and how to navigate Canadian space and, you know, how do they align themselves currently with the roadmap that, you know, the government and commercial agencies have set out for Canada? But I was really hoping that you'd be able to give a positive message of reinforcement at the end here.
Yeah, I would like to say that, you know, there's a lot of opportunities. So we are living in an amazing time. So there's a lot of opportunities to build new solutions, to start new things. It's hard to find a time in a human history that is like that, because you need a lot of money to do anything. So today, you can start with your computer. You can understand things. You can work together online. You can build new ventures based on technology. So you can access quantum computers, so you can start new things all the time. So that's amazing. I would say that people that want to understand more about space or want to start new things, so I would like to say that you can go to i2a2.ca, and there you have a lot of free trainings where people can start to understand more about AI or quantum computer.
That's awesome. And thank you for pointing the audience to that resource as well. Is there any other way specifically with Data H how people can get involved or learn more? Can they reach out to you? Can they reach out to someone working there if they have ideas and they'd like to explore an avenue to really grow that?
Yeah, you used to start some classes. Like I think in the next month you have like sessions about space with some guys from US and Canada and Europe as well. And people can access that on our website, so i2a2.ca or .i8.ai. And we have a link there, so you can access free. And so you can be in touch with us and talk about the subject.
That sounds awesome. And I'm sure people will be really excited about that opportunity. So thank you so much, Evandro, for being on our podcast. We kept it short and sweet today, but we'd love to have you back another time if there's anything else, you know, that you'd like to talk about, anything exciting happening at Data H or otherwise in your life. We'd love to have you back. So thank you again for being here today.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Stay tuned for more exciting episodes from the Canadian Space Society. Bye.